when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathering home, we'll tell the story how we overcome. We're gonna understand it better by and by. Oh yes, now by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathering home, we will tell the story how we overcome. We're gonna understand it better by and by.
Are often tossed and driven on this restless sea of time. Some of the skies have the tempers, often see the bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by.
Yes, we will. Oh, now by and by, when the morning comes, understand it better by and by. Oh, now by and by, Lord, when the morning comes, when all
God gathered home,
we will
tell the story of how we've overcome. We will understand it better.
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. What a time we had here on Wednesday night. How many of you got to be here Wednesday night? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Was it outstanding? I'm telling you the truth. Just, the journey gets sweeter all the time, and the journey gets more fantastic all the time. It really does. We're certainly glad to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Glad you're here. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a big smile, tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight on Saturday night.
Play a bit more of it, brother, if you will.
Understand it better by and by.
We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food, want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by.
Understand it better by and by. One more time.
By
and by.
Lord, when the morning comes,
when all the saints of God gather at home, we're going to
tell the story of how we've overcome.
We'll understand it better by and by.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, you can beat that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Isn't God good? Isn't God good tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you'll stand with me just for a few minutes. Brother and Sister Cooper sends this card of thanks to this church family. They want to thank you for your prayers, your thoughts during the illness and death of my mother. May God bless you. Thank you for all the cards, Brother and Sister Cooper. So we certainly appreciate those folks. They mean a lot to this assembly, Brother Don and Sister Patty Cooper. So we praise the Lord for those folks tonight, don't we? Brother Tracy is here in the service with us tonight. He's over in the fellowship hall. So somebody say praise the Lord for that. Amen. We just certainly appreciate Brother Tracy and what he means to this assembly as well. He has a prayer request tonight that he would become a better Christian. I have one too. May I become a better Christian. Is that your desire tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's just commit that to the Lord. Brother Ron, Sister Naomi sends this in for Sister Carrington. She has a terrible cough, and sometime today she pulled a muscle and is presently at first assist seeking treatment. So we want to remember her tonight as we pray. Brother Larry Elliott sends this in. My cousin in Illinois, who first taught me my piano chords, has been married for some 30 years to a very godly lady named Judy. She's been a wonderful Christian and friend to us. She has never had any health problems and recently went to the hospital with pain in her back. They diagnosed her with colon and liver cancer and have given her just days to live. They had no idea that she was even sick, and the whole family is in shock at this situation. She's a 52-year-old mother and grandmother, so they're asking that we would remember those requests tonight on her behalf. Brother Andrew Kennedy has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Brother Mike and Sister Faith Lunsford. They are both sick tonight. Pray for a special unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that. And as some of you may, most of you probably already know, Brother Harvey's father passed away maybe a week and a half. And of course they're in Arizona there. So let's just pray for Brother Harvey and Sister Shirley and that family as they go through this time, the loss of his father. Sister Frances King, please pray for our son, Dwayne King. He has acute bronchitis and is having a hard time breathing, so we want to pray for that need tonight. The Wiggins and the Dixon families, they want to thank everyone who prayed for Kimberly and our little Robbie. Robert Owen Dixon arrived safely 6 weeks early. Thanks to the Lord, he is doing so well. The only thing he is hooked up to now is an IV and monitors. He will be in the NICU a few more days, but is doing fantastic. The issue with his kidney that caused so much concern turned out to not be serious and should resolve itself and be just fine. They want to praise the Lord for that. So thank God. Praise the Lord. Sister Joanne Tessa would like for the church to pray for Sister Linda Jablonski. She is very sick, needs a touch from the Lord. Remember, this Brother Orville Reese sends us in. Remember, my sister has a need in her body. She also needs the Lord. And there's, I can't make that person's name out, but somebody in Fall Branch that's very sick needs a touch from the Lord. So let's remember that need as well. Sister Winters is sick tonight, is on antibiotics. She requests prayer, so let's pray for our sister tonight. And then this is just another note. Sister Patty and Brother Don are back from her mother's funeral services. They traveled back and forth to West Virginia for 13 years, helping take care of her mother. You know what? That's memories that will never be regretted. Never be regretted. So we thank God that all is well, and Brother Don and Sister Patty. Brother Jack Roberts, I want you to remember him in prayer tonight. Urgent request on his behalf. Certainly needs the Lord to touch his body. Also, a friend of mine came by my house today, and I won't go into any details, but a very urgent request, and he asked before he left, please pray for us. We're in desperate need. So if you'd remember those needs tonight, if you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, how many of you know that we're serving a prayer-answering God? How many of you know that God's bigger than all of our problems? How many of you knows that He loves you better than everything in this world? How many of you knows He really cares about you? Are you concerned and believe with all your heart that He really, really cares about you? Give Him one more big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's just pray tonight. Let's just bow our heads. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight, Lord, on behalf of all these requests. Lord, we know that the needs are many. The needs are great. And Lord, there's outstanding requests here that we hold in our hand, but we know that you're the master of the wind. We know that you're the master of every circumstance. There's no problem that's bigger than our God. And Lord, we just commit them to your hands tonight. We ask you to move on behalf of every need, every hand that was raised in this building tonight. Lord, you see the need behind that raised hand. I ask you to move in a very special way, Father. Lord, we want to invite you into this service tonight. Lord, I know Brother David, Brother Darrell are going to be leaving tomorrow, going to Nicaragua for some meetings. We just want to hold that, Lord, in our hearts, that you would protect them, be with them, give them tremendous services, Lord. May you be exalted in their lives, Lord Jesus. May you get honor and glory out of every vessel that's represented in this service tonight. We know that without you, we're helpless. We're nothing, Lord. But we know that with you, we are the majority, Lord. And we rest in that. We have confidence in that. Bless this service tonight and honor our pastor with the Holy Ghost, Lord, as he comes to speak to us. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you'll come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome all of you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless all those wonderful folks that are streaming the service as well. Let's sing a song tonight. I believe he's in the house, don't you?
Amen.
How many of you believe he's in the house? How many of you know he's in the house? Give him another big hand clap of praise.
Little girl was lying there, people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, some began to say, now there is hope, there's no more doubt. Praise his name, praise his name, he's in the house.
You were like that little girl, dead in all our sins. Jesus touched this heart of mine, gave me life again. I am just a house of clay.
Hallelujah.
But ever since that blessed day,
yes, Lord,
there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said, she's only sleeping. But Brother Terry, as he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, He's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be.
There's a light that shines in me.
I want you to sing it now. You're singing so good. I'm so glad that He found you. Aren't you glad when He came looking for you, He found you? Aren't you glad you have been found? Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I've been found. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but give Him another big hand clap of praise if you love Him.
When I was on the mountain, when I heard my Savior speak to me, oh, He said, come to me, relenting, and of all your sins repenting, child, I will lead you out where you can see.
Oh, let's sing about it now.
Church. Well, now I'm so glad He found me.
stray from Him. No, never. 'Cause He's the dearest friend that I ever knew. And when I see Him yonder,
hallelujah,
my love's gonna still grow fonder. Up in that happy home beyond the blue.
Well, now I'm so glad He found me. With love He bound me. He put His arms around me.
And He led me,
hallelujah,
to the shade.
You're just singing too good tonight. It's dangerous how good you're singing. We just sing all night long. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. Sister Sarah, if you'll come, give us a song at this time. We'll go right on into the service. Pray for our singers. Give her a hand
You've heard the story of Paul and Silas, how they were bound and thrown into jail. They did not worry, they kept on praying. They were serving a God that cannot fail. Then after midnight, God sent an earthquake. Those old foundations began to shake. Those prison doors flew open wide, and Paul and Silas stepped outside. Well, He'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fire He'll free, like He fed 5,000 with two fish and some bread. Then He walked on the water and He raised the dead. Well, He stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and He saved old Moses from Pharaoh's men. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that He'll deliver me. My God delivered when before Goliath He did stand. He took no armor, He took no weapons, just a stone and a sling in His hand. Then He went running to meet that army. He met that Philistine man that stood mighty and tall. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. And you know that mighty man did fall. Well, He'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from from the fire he'll free, like he fed 5,000 with two fish and some bread. Then he walked on the water and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved old Moses from Pharaoh's men. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. Well, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fire he'll free, like he fed 5,000 with two fish and some bread. Then he walked on the water and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved old Moses from Pharaoh's men. Open the eyes of the blind to see.
He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in His hand. I put my life in His hand. So every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life in His hand. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands.
Every road I walk down,
sure it's in His plan. I put my life in His hands. He's got it all. Oh, He's got it all in control. Yes, Lord. He's got it all in control. Way down in my soul. Thank you, Lord. He's got it all in control. Thank the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Timothy, if you would, tonight. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5. Isn't it a privilege for us to be gathered together in the house of God? Gathered under the auspices of the Word of God. Think of it, friends. If it wasn't for grace and mercy, that sign out there could say Happy Valley Church of Christ, or Happy Valley Baptist, or Happy Valley whatever. But by God's grace, we stand here tonight. not under denominational head or denominational control, but under the leadership of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Listen carefully to these verses of Scripture. Paul speaking to Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now listen to this. Paul's speaking to Timothy. Timothy's a preacher, you know. And I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, which is sincere. It's not mixed with malice, any type of pretension, any falsehood, but it's just a pure faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Amen. Now you know what, when I read that, it gives me such hope and courage to know that as parents and as grandparents, there's something we can do. And your children may get away from what's right, but it don't mean they'll ever get away, ever get out of their hearts. Now, won't you notice how he traces this back to his grandmother and to his mother, and his son persuaded is in you. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Now listen to this carefully. That thou stir up the gift of God. Now here's a God called man that didn't put the gift in himself, but this man does have the ability to stir it up. Listen what this word means. To kindle up, inflame one's mind. Inflame one's mind. Strength, zeal. So here Paul tells this preacher, stir up this gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the word sound is an admonishing or a calling to soundness of mind, to moderation and self-control. If there was ever a generation that needed self-control, believe me, friends, it's this generation that we live in. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Greek word here of sound denotes a sober mind, a man of prudence and discretion. The state referred to is that which is in the mind, which is well balanced under the right influences, proportions and relationships, with feverish excitement, with everything that the individual does is sober-minded, that he's under self-control. Now, the devil will try to convince you, and I can't help myself. That is a lie. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. And remember, this is the new covenant now, when the bride comes in under the dispensation of grace as well. Thus saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. Well, isn't the heart sufficient? Apparently not. If God's going to put his law in my mind, I must need it in my mind. Now notice the difference. He'll put it in my mind, but he'll write it on my heart. Now you see, if he puts it in my heart and it's sealed there, it can never be taken away. But to put, it might need to be re-put and re-put and over-put and put and put and put again. You understand? Why? Because you're dealing with so many things that Satan will try to put other things in your mind. But God said, I'll take care of your heart once and for all. I'll write it on there. Glory. I just got a feeling we're going to have church here tonight, don't you all? Glory. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, we so love you tonight. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your abundant grace and mercy that's given to us. Lord, I want to thank you tonight for your great truth that you've given to us in this day. Lord, we're living in a day of so much trouble and so much sickness and confusion. And Lord, many of the message folks are so tore up. They don't know what to do or where to go. And many of them not even sure they believe the message anymore. It's really a sad state for many of them. But yet, Lord, I'm so grateful that there's a place in you, a place of stability, a place of strength. Lord, that if 1,000 falls one side and 10,000 on the other side, it doesn't move us. We can't say that we don't feel for them and it doesn't affect us, but it does not move us off of our foundation. I pray you take your word tonight, Father, and speak to us, Lord. Anoint us, dear God. You see, Father, I've tried to study prayerfully and tried to give myself, and I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to be able to get out of the way. If I'd say anything tonight, Lord, that would be wrong, or anything, Lord, that would affect anybody in a wrong way, shut my mouth, Lord. You who shut the mouths of the lions, I'm your son. I believe you can shut my mouth tonight, Lord. Help me that out of my mouth can come words of truth and words of deliverance that'll help and strengthen and encourage you people. Give them an ear to be able to hear, a heart to receive, I pray, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Sure love you tonight in the Lord. So appreciate God's mercy to us. From these passages of Scripture, I'd like to draw this simple thought tonight on a sound mind. A sound mind. Taking from this setting of a servant of God, that if anybody would have an advantage, of a spiritual advantage, of being able to understand God's way and God's word, then it would certainly be an experienced, matured preacher. Because he not only has the Holy Ghost, the new birth, but he also has a gift which gives him an insight into the spiritual understanding of God's word and God's principles. But yet when Paul got ready to write his son in the gospel, he felt it necessary to not only address Timothy about the new birth part, but to also address him in what he would call his mind, so that Timothy would know that God had not given him the spirit of fear. Now remember, Timothy was a much younger man than Paul. He was much younger than other of the apostles who had been called. He had never met the Lord Jesus personally. So no doubt that weighed on him, as many of us ministers now. We was not with Brother Branham, and we were never ordained personally by Brother Branham. And you know how that can be sometimes. Men that are older than you, they want to use that against you and say, well, you was never there, and you was never faithfully taught, and you never sat at his feet, and so on and so on and so on. And there can be advantages, certainly, to being able to be there. But to be honest with you, if I would have turned out the way some of those men turned out who sat at his feet, I'm glad I wasn't at his feet. I'm glad I've been able to know this word by revelation years and years and years after this. And I don't say that derogatory now to any man. I thank God for those who were able to be there and still be a living witness and not use that as something to build themselves a kingdom. But whenever Paul got ready to write to this man of God, if anybody in the body would need this, an understanding about a sound mind, a mind that would be under control, it would need to be certainly a preacher. Because a preacher, when he's studying the word, all kinds of things can come to him. The inspiration of God can come to him to inspire him to the word. Thoughts can come from the presence of God, but thoughts can also come from the devil. Thoughts can come from him. Thoughts can come from emails of other people. Thoughts can come from texts of other people. And he goes to studying along those lines and he'll make things come together. And really when you go to looking at it, you realize it ain't the Lord at all. There's many so-called revelations that are preached around this message. Ain't nothing but a lie from the devil. And people will get that lie and they'll try to take a quote and add one this one here and that and the other. But I like it when it's a thought from God that it runs in perfect continuity from Genesis to Revelation. You don't have to make it fit. You don't have to leave this out, chop this off, cut this in half, dissect this, but it just all blends together. Now here, whenever Paul wanted to get this over to Timothy, in order to be able to express it, knowing that it wouldn't just be read by preachers, of course, but it would be read by saints of God for the ages that were to come, that he felt it would be a value of importance, something that would need to be impregnated into the mind of the believers, that a believer could have a sound mind. A mind which would be under control. Now remember that many of these people in this first century of Christianity, they've come out from under the Greek influence, they've come out from under the Roman influence, and they were great intellectual people. And they might, their science might not compare to us today, but they were people of the mind. And they were people who had great scholars and great teachers and many great men that, you know, knew how to say great, great words. And so many of the believers had now been converted and they were coming out from under that intellectual part. So they're still struggling. You can see the letter to the Ephesian church, how they're still struggling with things. The letter to the Corinthian church, how they're struggling with things. The church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, the seven church messages that come to the churches around in Asia Minor. You can see that even though they're born again, they're still struggling with the natural carnal element that's hanging around them. And not only that, but even after they're converted, they will still struggle with the unconverted part that's left in them. And Paul, knowing, no doubt, God had inspired them to understand that there was a conscience level of their mind and an unconscious level. Paul, being a prophet, he was able to be caught into the world of vision, and by that he knew in that world of vision was where he had these visions to take place. So he knew there was a subconscious. He might not have called it quite that same term that we do today, but they knew that it was there. So they knew in order to be a good workman of God, a man studying to show himself approved, that he must not just be called, he must not just have the Holy Ghost, he must not just have a gift, but he must learn to be able to control his own mind. To be able to control his passions, to be able to control his desires, everything about him, he's got to control it. Now that don't mean, friend, that we control it to where God cannot use us. But if we control it to where Satan cannot use what that which has not been born again yet by the Spirit of God. Now notice in God, then he comes in Hebrews and says, he quotes God saying that God wanted to put the laws into their mind and to be able to write them in their heart. Now here we see a division of how that something will be put into the mind that will be a little bit different from that which will be put into the heart. Now let me just clarify for it in case you're wondering that the subconscious is not the soul, but the subconscious is that part of your mind, the 90% part of your mind, which is accessible only through certain channels. The subconscious part is not accessible in the way that the conscience part is. It's made up totally different. God, our great Father, designed it this way. And it can be greatly used to our advantage if we learn how to do it. Now in that, when Brother Branham was here, no doubt many of the people was able to hear him say these references to the first conscience and subconscious. They thought it was a little bit strange and different because living in that realm, it was a mystic to most of them probably anyway. So when they begin to hear him explain these things, I would imagine that people thought he was very, very strange and peculiar. And you and I, we think maybe the same thing today. Now here it's been all these years ago that these things were said, and now it seems like God wants us to be able to break into it with a greater, clearer understanding than ever before. And people look at one another and say, what in the world is he preaching? What in the world? But you know what? Truth has a way of laying inside of something and being so obscure. It can be so hidden until one day God just turns a light on, and it's not some weird fang-dangle something or other, but it's just been laying right there in plain open view the whole time, but it's like you can't see it till God gets ready for you to see it. And then when God gets ready for you to see it, you can't see nothing else. Amen. Now, what's this? Let's lay a little bit of a foundation here from the message point of view first. Brother Ben said, now, if you notice, the subconscious is where you live. That's where you yourself live. Now, remember, this is not speaking about the gene of God. This is not the soul that is born by the breath of God, but this is where the you in the conscious, unconscious world, this is where the real you, the man of the engine room, this is where he lives at. Now that's separate realm for those of you that are born again. You have that realm inside of you, and that's the seed of God. Now notice this, that's the reason people, it's hard for them to have faith. Up here first they say, yes, I've got faith, but down in here something says, but it's not for you.
Now here's a person then, they come on a platform or they hear the word being preached and maybe it's going right toward their need. Now as they're hearing that word preached, the first conscience takes that word and it's analyzing and it's going through and it's patterning that and it's releasing certain enzymes in the body and in the brain and it's attaching certain emotions with that. As it goes to the brain, it makes up certain panels and certain channels and paths, and as it goes through there, it will then imprint that same thing on other brain cells. And when that same thought comes again, it will organize itself and come through the same thing again. This is why it's so hard to get error out of our lives. Because it's so embedded inside of our subconscious. Now, I hear a person say, I've got all the faith in the world. I believe God can do it. Yes, sir, I'm going to do it. Glory to God. I believe it. But the man down inside has been so programmed, it's not for you. You're not good enough. You don't have enough faith. You made a mistake this week. You let God down. You've been a disappointment your whole life. That's the real man that you listen to. Now notice he said, but down in here something says, but it's not for you. It's like a ship going across the sea. The man up here on the deck, you look at him and you say, he's running the ship. No, he isn't running the ship. The man down in the bowels of the ship is running the ship, the engineer. Now what if we'd ring a, now notice this, ring a sign down through and say, so many knots forward. And the man down there would ring and go backwards. What if you'd say, go to the right? He'd go to the left. He couldn't steer it. The man down on the inside is the one who sends the ship. Well, this fellow up here says, I believe God heals. And I believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your subconscious down there says, but it's not for you. Now notice your subconscious is not trained to be an atheist. Now this is the subconscious of a Christian. Notice now, this is the subconscious of a Christian, or at least a religious person. So their subconscious is not saying, there is no God. How can you ask God for it? There is no God. Why, there's no such a thing as atheism. Their subconscious is not trained in that way. But their subconscious is trained that it may be true. But there's something about all their fears and all their failures and all their past as a childhood and a teenager and so on that's all accumulative, adding together to make them the defeated person that they are. So they can truly be born again from their soul. But remember, the subconscious is not the soul. But it must come down through. It must come down through. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Actually, it's what they call the law of repetition. This is the way you rewire your brain. The law of repetition. And you hear it so much and say it so fast that it actually bypasses the conscience. For the first time, I finally realized why God called me to preach at 137 miles per hour. To preach it so fast and say it so often that it sits there, bypasses your first conscience. You're just sitting there bouncing off the walls and the subconscious is saying, yes, 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 yes. Now notice he says, and your subconscious down there says, but it's not for you. So where did he get this teaching? Where does the subconscious get this teaching that it's not for you? He gets that from you. Now you are teaching him. The subconscious, remember, cannot think in the way the first conscience does. It's down in the bowels of the ship. He cannot see, taste, feel, smell, hear. All he knows is the data that's sent into him from your first conscience. And then he begins to associate, especially if it's emotion that comes with that data. You see, the more emotion comes with it, and the more you believe it, the more imprint it makes upon your cells. Woo! Glory! Oh my, no wonder the real elect of God, when they believe this word, it ain't no wonder. You can't burn it out of them. You can't never get it out of them. It's so imprinted in them. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? It's a part of them. It's not just a doctrine. It's not a theory. It's a part of who they are, friends. So here you walk up. You need something from God? Yes. You believe God can do it? Absolutely. You believe He's the same? Yes. I believe it with all of my heart. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But this man down here is saying, be careful now. It might be true. God might could do it for somebody else. But remember, you've always been a failure. You ain't worthy of this. You're no good. Watch, Brother Bam said, if you get that man up there to say forward, this man down here say forward, you'll go forward. Notice, if you can get God to say, now watch the harmony of this. If you can get God to say, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. The first conscience said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And the subconscience said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. You mean the outside can say it and agree with God and it still won't happen, Brother Jim? It will not happen until the subconscious agrees. Isn't that powerful? My, oh, thank you, Lord. And the Lord that healeth you, and the subconscious said, I'm the Lord that healeth you. You're going forward. But when God says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, and the subconscious or the conscience said, I believe it so. And the subconscious said, are you quite sure? You don't even have to say it's not the truth. It does not have to say it's not real. It'll never have. Ought to say, are you just quite sure? Where is it getting this information? You fed it to it over and over and over again. Unlike your first conscience to set in a service and can be changed and think different, the subconscious don't get it that quick. Because for years, you fed this into yourself. Glory to God. Now, are you quite sure? Then you're not going. Listen to this, children. I wonder if this is where many message folks are. We've got all the quotes, man. We got the tapes. We can quote them like a machine gun. And just going around and around and around the harbor of the message. And the man up here screaming, hollering, glory to God, I'm out of here, I'm out of here. And the man, you said, you ain't out of here, I ain't going nowhere, I'm scared of them seas. I'm scared to go, I ain't going nowhere. And God said, come on, turning northward. And the man up in the deck said, we're turning northward. And the man down here said, I ain't going nowhere. Somebody told me them seas is rough out there. Somebody told me there's big, big time storms out there. I ain't going nowhere. And he just keeps the ship going around and around. God sent a prophet. Hallelujah. God sent a prophet. Glory to God. And he's just going around and around and around and around. I don't know about you. I'm sick of this. It's like going on an Alaskan cruise somewhere or some kind of cruise somewhere and say, how'd y'all enjoy your trip? Well, he didn't go nowhere. We just went around and around the harbor. You mean you paid $700 for 7 days and you went around? Why? Well, the man down in the engine room wouldn't go nowhere. You'd get so mad. You'd sue that cruise line. You'd take them to court. Why don't you get mad at yourself? Why don't you take yourself to court and say it's time to go before the judge? It's time for you to get delivered. We're getting out of this harbor. Hallelujah. But it's just easier to remain where we are. Notice, Brother Bram said, you just go around in circles. You got to get both of them, all of them working together. Here, here, and there. All in harmony. Then you can go forward. There's nothing. Can you believe this? Nothing. Do you understand? Some of you are only one realm away from being an unstoppable Christian. Can you imagine being one realm away from being undefeatable? That no matter what Satan does, he cannot stop you. Lord Almighty. Children, I ain't talking about new cars and new houses. I'm talking about living a life of the Word. We got the promises. We got the message of the hour. Have we not? Brother Skip, could it be that close? That we're one realm away from being the type of Christian that Brother Ben said, when you get up in the morning, that the devil don't know what to do with you. Brother Donnie, you saying we ain't going to get sick? I ain't saying no such a thing. Are you saying we ain't going to have trouble? I ain't saying no such a thing, but I'm saying with your trouble, you'll have victory. I'm saying with your sickness, there will be deliverance. In the time of storm, there will be peace. The storm will stop being the predominant thing. And the victory will be the predominant thing. And the storm will only be the instrument that led you to the victory. But it depends on how you look at it. Watch this, why we're not a denomination. Then when you let your faith run out to its end, till you begin to believe, then you let your subconscious go to acting, then the faith of God will back it up. Then you'll go right on out because your faith won't do too much. Oh, that hurts our feelings. Your faith won't do too much. Your subconscious has to move in the direction that your faith is moving. And then God's faith moves in behind and confirms it. Oh, can't you see, friend? God's faith cannot move in behind our first conscience. I believe. God knows how wishy-washy that is. This will say, I'm healed tonight, I'm prayed for, or whatever it is, and tomorrow the symptoms is back, and this looks at the symptoms and it's lost its faith. But since the subconscious is down in the engine room, he don't see symptoms. Amen! Since the subconscious is down in there, he don't look at the storm. He don't look at the waves. All he knows is what you feed him. All he knows is what you tell him. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Notice this. Your subconscious has to move in the direction that your faith is moving. Then God's faith moves in behind and confirms it all. But see, if it's your faith, oh yes, I've got it right now. And even your subconscious rolling back, you're saying, I wonder if it'll work on me. Where'd that come from? It heard you say it over and over again. It'll hear you say things like, if you go buy a ceiling fan from Lowe's, you put it up in 3 days, it tears up. Your subconscious will hear you say, if that sort of thing happens to anybody, it happens to me. You see, you've been thinking all along, that wasn't damaging. Do you understand what you're doing? You are feeding into your subconscious an image of yourself. Then when you come to church and you hear me or some of these other ministers preach the truth of the gospel, you'll pull them same things through that image. But you see, we message folks are so different than everybody else. We're not humans anymore. Really? Let me tell you something. You don't brush your teeth, it'll stink. You don't take a bath, you'll smell like a polecat. We got a human spirit. We got a subconscious. We're just like everybody else. Only thing that makes us difference is the grace of God. Right? And you imagine we begin to feed all these things. And it's not just necessarily what you say out, but it's what you think without saying that really tells who you are. It's when circumstances and events will come up. You may not say one word because you think you're thinking positive. You still ain't got the cat by the tail yet, friend. It's what you really think without uttering one word to your wife, to your children, to nobody else. It's what this man thinks about the situation. When he will look at the scenario and say, oh my, God will make a way. God will make a way. Yes, sir, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's out here. And down inside, you think, really? Really? You think he will this time? Oh no, oh I hope he does, oh my, I hope he does. And then you bring that to church and you set it down on your favorite pew and then you're hearing me preach. It comes to the first conscience, it analyzes, it divides, it separates. It don't know any different. It don't know any different than to just send that right into the impression of your mind and your subconscious to do the same thing with scriptures that it does with them quotes about low ceiling fans. Remember, your subconscious ain't got the Holy Ghost. Your first conscience ain't got the Holy Ghost. Only your soul does. Don't you see what it does? It processes quotes the same way it does any other words. So I've got to be born again. Whew, can I go on? Now watch this in question and answers. With the mind of Christ, you serve God. See, the inward part you serve God. That subconscious, that's where faith lies. Huh. I want to ask you, was there many times that you people in here, many of you, same times where you just knowed something was going to happen? And it looked like it was impossible, but you did. You know it was going to happen. Did you ever have that? That's faith. Amen. That's subconscious working. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory. Now you imagine this is 1959. You imagine the people, the Branham Tabernacle, they're sitting there looking at him like y'all looking at me. Say, okay. Uh-huh. Subconscious working. Okay. Notice again. God's provided approach to fellowship. And so they thought, perhaps you can catch it coming from the audience, as I do many times. They think it's telepathy. Yet they'll say, praise the Lord. Notice now what they say. But yet they don't really believe that in their hearts. Your inner conscience speaks louder than your mouth does. Louder where? Louder to whom? Louder than your mouth does. You see, it's your subconscious on the inside. What you really think, that's what the Holy Spirit catches and reveals. Oh my. See, this is why they thought he was a mind reader. This is why they thought Jesus was a mind reader. And he was, in one sense of the word. The Holy Ghost is still a mind reader today. I want him to read mine. I want him to go down to my subconscious and tell me what's there so I can get this thing straightened out. Oh my. Do you believe that? Jesus looked upon the audience and perceived their thoughts. From where? The subconscious. You see, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, it was not their conscious level, the 10% of the iceberg that was sticking out of the water. It was the part that sunk the Titanic, the 90% below. So there Jesus perceived their very thoughts. They kept it here. Oh, we believe Moses. Glory to God. We believe the prophet of God. Every word he said, Jesus said, if you believe Moses, you'd believe me. I said, where'd he get that at, their subconscious? Oh, my. Notice this. Oh, I love this one here. What must I do for my family? A person, you know, praying for their family, wanting their family to be saved. He said, well, use the same faith that you're using for yourself, for your family. Commit them to the Lord and believe with all of your heart that you're going to be saved. And don't let it just become on your natural thinking here, but let it drop. Notice now what it has to do. Let it drop down on the inside, that subconscious. Then they're yours. Now you can claim your children from the day I lay hands on them and dedicate them to the Lord. And as long as his conscience claiming, they may be and they may not be saved. But if it ever you ever let it drop from the conscience level and it drops into that subconscious, they are yours. Well, how will I know, Brother Donnie, when it's there? Because whenever the conscience level sees him backsliding, it loses faith. When the conscience level don't see him in church, it loses faith and cries and all that sort of thing. But when the subconscious grabs it, since he's down in the bottom of the ship, there ain't no windows. There ain't no windows to see they're not in church. He believes it. Whoo. Now let's switch from the message part. Let's switch over to the medical view. The subconscious mind is responsible for the automatically triggered feelings and emotions that you suddenly experience upon facing a new situation. If you were about to give a presentation, then all the fear and anxiety, feelings you might experience. But notice what happens then. Where does this come from? So are fact launched and controlled by your subconscious mind. The conscious mind, on the other hand, is responsible for logic, calculations, and all actions that are performed while you are conscious. The subconscious mind also controls other functions in your body like breathing and heartbeats. Aren't you glad? Amen. If not, you'll die when you go to sleep. So it's committed to what? The subconscious. Now once the subconscious is trained and learned, now when you come out of your mother's womb and the doctor, midwife, whatever smacked you, your subconscious was not trained. But it had to be trained. And then the rhythm pattern and the breathing and all that started doing that automatically. Automatically that little tiny subconscious of yours started picking up. You couldn't say one word. You couldn't read one letter, but your subconscious began to pick up rhythms, methodical rhythms that was being sent to that subconscious, and you could go to sleep as a little baby and not worry about, well, am I going to wake up or not? The subconscious breathed for you. It controlled your heart rate. Can't you see why Brother Bam said Jesus walked unconscious of faith? What kind of Christians would we be tonight on this hill, friends? If we could be subconscious Christians. We'd be unconscious of criticism, unconscious of fear, unconscious of the things around us. As I said last weekend, we'd just be comatose Christians. And please, if I ever get there, don't bring me out. Amen. Don't rush me to the ER. Leave me alone, because I are here. I are have arrived. Don't get me out of there. If I can ever get to a spot that I'm unconscious of criticism, I'm unconscious even of fear, don't never try to resuscitate me. I don't ever want to be brought to this world again. Now watch this. How you can program your subconscious mind. When the information about driving is stored in your subconscious mind, it's stored as a program. Think of your mind as a computer and the driving information as software that can be run automatically whenever needed. The same goes for lots of other activities and emotions. If someone annoys you, the installed program of anger is going to be launched and the result will be a behavior that you may regret later. Of course, I know that don't happen to none of you all. Them old sorry sinners at Stream Meet Services. It's a shame I got to preach such stuff to you saints. You little angels, you. Don't sit there and look at me like that. When you get angry, when you respond to a certain thing, you know what that's at? It's buried in you. It's a software. You may have got it when you was 5, 4, 6, 15, and you've been reacting the same ever since. Whew. Well, y'all ain't going to say preach or nothing. You're just, man, I give a buck and a half just for nods now. I didn't think you could get no lower than nods. You know what? I believe I'd almost exchange that for the land of nod. Now notice this. So this becomes programmed in us. By programming the subconscious mind with new programs, you can fix many problems in your personality. I think a lot of us need fixed. This is why we can't get along with one another. Well, glory. The subconscious mind learns by repetition and not by logic. Now you cannot sit down and convince yourself after the service in the subconscious. You can from the conscious one. You know what? That's the truth. I need to quit this. This temper has got me in and out of trouble. I can remember since a little child, you know, me being this, whatever your fault is and your problem and your behavior, I need to quit this. And you can make up in your mind that you're going to do it. And go right outside of church and somebody will say something to you and it's as automatic as it can be. You'll respond the same way. Well, I done made up my mind. One part of your mind, the 10% that heard. The logic, it made sense through logic to your mind. But this computer running on the software down on the inside is still trained to respond that way. Well, you know, it's kind of like certain folks that just have the ability to push some of our buttons. It's just something about it. Everything can be going so well. And you see that certain brother at church that just pushes your buttons. It was a great day.
You were so looking forward to church, and you just had to run into him before church. And as usual, he pushed your buttons. Of course, it's not your fault. Never is it your fault. It's him. He shouldn't have been fooling with your buttons no how. That's what you think. It's his fault. He should have kept his stinking hands off of your pretty buttons. But sometimes, you see, God allows our buttons to be pushed to show we need some change in our behavior. But remember, God can help us as long as we're blaming the other guy. Whether it's your wife or your daughter-in-law, your mother-in-law, whoever it is, whenever we realize we've got a need, we need to focus on us. God, help me to change. Help my behavior, Lord, to change. And look, friend, we can have things about our behavior that is so displeasing to God and so wrong. I'm not talking about going out and drinking and committing adultery, just being sarcastic and being picky all the time and still be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because that's so buried in you. And you realize many people that are like that, they don't even realize how bad they are. They don't even realize how rotten that attitude can be. Everybody else around them can see it and they avoid them like the plague. But they've done it so much, it don't sound bad to them. Remember the Daniel, Brother Darrell went on a hunt this past fall. Went up to a certain place to hunt, and it was, of course, it wasn't Christian guys. It was just worldly guys, a big bunch of guys there hunting. I don't think I've ever heard so much cussing in my life. And I'm 56 years old. I never heard so much cussing. Lord, have mercy. By the time the day was done, being around them people, I felt like I need to go get baptized, get saved, go to the altar, have these brothers pray for me. But you know what? As I watched them men, I realized it didn't mean no more to them than the words that I used. Why? Because that's the words they'd heard for years and years, and it didn't seem like it was wrong to them. It didn't seem like it was out of order to them. It's their diet. It's where they live. It's where they feed. But to us, we'd talk about it, man, we'd go eat and go back to our room. They probably thought, them guys is groundhogs. I mean, they come out and they go straight back to their room. Why? You don't enjoy feeding on that stuff. How many agree with me? That's the language of the devil. Well, he also agreed with me that the language of the devil also goes into the religious realm. I'm not a very good Christian. I ain't got very much faith. God don't love me. God don't care for me. You're cussing! You're religious cussing! You're telling a bigger lie than them guys out there that ain't even serving God. Woo! Now watch how this works. By programming the subconscious mind with new programs, you can fix many problems in your personality. The subconscious mind learns by repetition and not by logic. Can't you see why you need someone to hear some of the same preaching over and over and over again? Now in your logic mind, you say, I've done heard that. That was the first conscience. Glory. That's why you need to keep listening to tapes over and over and over again. Now notice, this is why you can convince someone to believing something by repeating your argument again and again rather than using logic. Another way to look at how the mind works between the conscious and subconscious is to think of it from this point of view. Listen to this, how amazing. When you develop a thought, it is analyzed by the conscious mind. What then starts to send electrochemicals within the brain. As the electrochemicals travel through the brain, neural pathways are opened. And the data passes through the brain. As the data travels, additional cells throughout the brain are imprinted with the data being processed. Can you imagine when you sit here in church and you get a revelation from God? And it goes to pass them through you, and more cells are impregnated with that information, that information, that information. Lord of mercy. Look at this. Now how in the world that science can believe that we evolved from a monkey? And that all of a sudden, one day, something by selective genetics and some sort of something or another, not only developed and changed my head from being elongated and real long and big old fat lips, till I got a shorter face and I got all that sort of thing, but it added a soul, which a monkey don't have. Darwin's theory didn't cover soul projection.
Woo! Glory! So here God developed this, that inside of your brain, when a thought goes through, these chemicals are released. Lord have mercy. A sound mind. A controlled mind. I meant to do it before I started here tonight, and I just forgot it. I meant to warn the devil that he probably should go ahead and go while the getting was good. Sorry, devil. I done whooped around on you for a while there. I meant to let you go. Listen to this. As the electrochemicals travel through the brain, neutral pathways are opened and the data passes through the brain. As the data travels, additional cells throughout the brain are imprinted with the data being processed. The conscious mind then attaches emotion to the thought based on its perceived interpretation of the data. So if it's something that's negative, somebody don't like you, somebody don't care for you, God don't love you, God don't like you, and then you have this emotion of rejection. That emotion is attached with that data, and that's buried in your subconscious. So whether it's buying a ceiling fan from Lowe's, or your daddy never would buy you ice cream, or whatever more is your problems in life, then that was attached with emotions. And when you're sitting in church, those things will reappear again, and you're sitting under the revealed word, and God's there to help you, and God's there to heal you, and God's there to move for you, but you pull it down to the subconscious and say, but you ain't good enough. You've always been an outcast. Well, I might have always been in my other life. But I got a new life now. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus. Now watch what happens to you, you complex thing, you. Look what your daddy made out of you. Oh my. Look at what happens. The conscious mind then attaches emotion to the thought based on its perceived interpretation of the data. This increases the vibration of the thought. And at that time, a belief is established. So now it changes from thought as it passes through your mind and it releases all these chemicals and it imprints another cell, another cell, another cell. Now a belief is born. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. This belief is then stored in the subconscious mind. This belief can be based on truth, reality, or a lie. Now see, unlike your soul, the subconscious can receive lies and build things upon them lies and then be as wrong can be. The soul won't allow you to do that if it's born again. Now notice, I wonder how much, friends, that we have lies, lies, lies. About our perception of ourselves, our perception of others, our perception of God. How many lies are imprinted on our subconscious? And when something will pass, the subconscious knows better. It's not born again. Well, glory. Some of y'all might as well get ready, because you're going to be delivered tonight. If that's you, I'd go ahead and buy my shoes. And buy a dancing pair while you're at it. This belief could be based on truth, reality, or a lie. It depends on where the thought come from and how it was interpreted. This data can then be accessed and utilized in the future by the conscious mind to either support or deny any further thoughts that are inputted into the conscious mind. When the conscious mind receives the same input again, it is the job of the subconscious mind to locate and provide that data which was stored previously. Send it back to the conscious mind with an emotion of some type included. So it's like when you hear a revelation from the Word of God And it just, man, it just about makes you explode. You ever notice how many of them revelations are so powerful? Every time you hear it, it does something to you. You know why? Because it's actually something in your subconscious. A certain song that you hear that just really moves you. And it may not move you as much the 38th time as it did the first time. But it has a special something. Why? It came with an emotion. And it goes back to your subconscious. And when you hear that same song again, it will outburst that emotion. Lord. Now notice what it does. Send back to the conscious mind with an emotion of some type included, which was also stored previously with the data, which will create a vibration based on the frequency of the data presented. So my thoughts, your thoughts, actually travel by frequencies. You do know, I suppose you know, that they have found the frequency of fear and the frequency of love. And all mortals access the frequency of fear. But they've yet to find any that can totally be absorbed in the frequency of love. Can't you see what it is? Perfect. Door walk unconscious. Of course, they ain't checking none of us yet. So I might call them and see if they want to check me. They may want to keep me for science. Notice this. This is really not a hard process to achieve. It just takes work and determination. I want you to listen to this. Now, this is from a medical point of view. Amen. And having faith doesn't hurt either. You must always remember that the subconscious mind does not know the difference between what is real or what is imagined. Can't you see why parents must be so careful what we feed our kids? To feed them the world of imagination. And the subconscious mind cannot differentiate between imagination and reality. It doesn't know the difference between what is real or imagined. It only responds to what is fed to it. Now you're talking about amazing. Listen to this. Affirmations are short phrases that are repeated over again. The main objective of affirmations is to program your subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is also sublime. That is to say, it never, ever questions your instructions, never has alternative ideas. To the subconscious mind, whatever you say goes. It ain't no wonder the devil don't care for us being message believers as long as we're message believers up here. He knows we'll never get nowhere, but if we can ever get it down inside of our soul and train that subconscious, brother, oh, you better look out, devil! The question is then, how can we most effectively program the subconscious mind? The first obstacle is to overcome the conscious mind. That 10% of your total mind that you use in everyday life to interact with the physical world. Although the physical mind is only 10%, I think 10% of your total mind, because it is the interacting at a fully conscious level, it will tend to intercept and analyze everything. Just like you're doing right now. You're analyzing what I'm saying. You're trying to figure out, do I believe this or not? Is Brother Donnie going loopy? Is he crazy or what? You're analyzing from the first conscious. Your subconscious will receive what you input to it about this service you're hearing tonight. You are fulfilling, whether you understand it or not, you are fulfilling what I'm preaching. Notice this. Although the physical mind is only 10% of our total mind, because it is interacting on a fully conscious level, it'll tend to intercept and analyze everything we direct at the subconscious mind. And if it does not agree, which can be most of the time, it will reject it there and then. The conscious mind is often resistant to change. I'm sure this part is just for the folks streaming, though. That ain't you all. Preferring things stay just the way they are. For better, for worse. That is why affirmations frequently fail to work for many people. The subconscious mind, is simply not receiving. Our challenge, therefore, is to bypass the conscious mind to gain direct access to the subconscious mind. The first is to repeat the affirmation. Now notice, this is again from a medical standpoint, telling you what to do. One of our sisters this week wanted to have her baby at the hospital. When she got there, the doctor that was seeing her, the group was not there, so another one came in to see her. They let her lay there and suffer and suffer. Then a doctor from her group came, I guess it was the next day. That doctor came in and said, I want you to start thinking positive thoughts. We're going to have this baby. The other doctor said, probably a C-section. Oh, no way. You know, whatever more they tell you. That other doctor said, I want you to think positive thoughts. No negative thoughts. We're going to have this baby. We're going to have it. They hear the husband and wife looking at one another and say, my, that's what our pastor has been preaching to us. And guess what? She had the baby. Well, if she could have hers, I reckon I can have mine. But I ain't going to have it by negative thoughts. I ain't bribed. I ain't going to rush her. I'm going to have this baby by positive thoughts. I am bribed. I am elect. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. That's the way I'll have my baby, Jesus. So notice what they say to get into your subconscious. The first is to repeat affirmations or be exposed to the affirmation so many times that the conscious mind cannot intercept and reject them all. Woo! Lord have mercy. Be exposed to the positive things of God so much that the conscious man is so overwhelmed he can't catch it all. Another method is use affirmations at a time when the conscious mind is less active and the mind generally is much more receptive. Now listen to this. The best times are just before sleep and just after waking. Saying affirmations until you drift off to sleep is very powerful. Kind of like saints, you know, that are in the hospital and the doctors give them up and their heart's going down and their blood pressure. Brother Donnie, I'll see you on the other side. Positive affirmations before they go to sleep. Very powerful. Notice, not only does it reach the subconscious mind more readily, but by taking the affirmation into the sleep state, it will continue to influence the subconscious mind during sleep. Repeating affirmations as you wake is also very effective, but you only have a small window of opportunity during the waking process, so make the most of it. You can reinforce your affirmations during the day by writing them down on sticky notes and placing them around your home. I hope this is the most sticky note church in the message. After hearing this. Said, boy, them people sure are forgetful. It ain't forgetful. It's to remind our subconscious of who we are. I'm bride. I'm elect. I'm going in the rapture. He's my healer. He's my savior. He's my provider. Oh my. Notice this. Affirmations must always be repeated. I want you to listen to this, friends. In the present tense. And must be short. For example, I feel completely healthy, or I am loved. I will make it through this, and so on. Many people make the mistake of creating affirmations that are too long. Also creating too many related affirmations. The subconscious mind, although very powerful, is also very simple in the way it perceives things. And is easily confused. Affirmations must therefore be short, unambiguous, few in number. No more than 10 very close related affirmations. That's going to be your problem. Is limiting it to 10 in one setting. If you know the word, that's right. Oh my. Thank you, Lord. Three further aspects of making affirmations much more powerful, which can make the difference between them working and not, is belief, gratitude, and emotion. You must believe, I want you to listen to this, that the object of your wishes is here now. And I know you're thinking this is far out. You're going to really think it's far out when I read to you quotes where Brother Bam says almost the same thing word verbatim. Is here now, which it really is, and merely waiting to arrive into your life. Another is gratitude. Always feel grateful that you have already received and are enjoying the object of your desires. If that don't sound like a seed of Abraham, I never know nothing about it. Thanking God for it before you ever get it. Acting like you're already healed. Lord have mercy, children. Another is gratitude. Always feel grateful that you have already received and are enjoying the object of your desires. Emotion is extremely powerful because it raises your vibrational state. Who knows? It might make you quiver a little bit and shake. Oh, glory. Raises your vibrational state, making the process much faster and more efficient. Feel therefore how happy you are to be in possession of your desires. Brother Ben says your right mental attitude toward God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. Now maybe you don't believe that. You say, well, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it. Don't let the devil know that. I'm glad to know there's some things he don't know. But some of us big fat blabbermouths, we tell him, don't we? Don't let the devil know that. Always say, what are you doing? You're giving positive affirmations. You are saying it out loud. You are telling your soul. You are telling your spirit. You are telling your subconscious. I've got good faith. Notice these short, brief, power-packed dynamite sticks. I've got good faith. I believe God with all of my heart. See? Don't testify nothing of the devil. And when you accept him as your healer, don't never act like you're sick or crippled anymore. Maybe we should send some of these books to Harvard. Maybe we need to send some of these message books to some of these universities. They might speed up and help in humanity. You imagine the prophet of God saying these things years and years ago? Do you understand, friend? Many of these things I'm reading to you has just been found out in the last 10, 15 years. Some of it the last 2 or 3 years. That prophet understood, Brother Darrell, there's something there. Make your testimony positive. They didn't get a series like you got. Maybe they heard one thing, one statement. Don't never act like you're sick or crippled. How could you do that? How could, if you was on a cane or a crutch or in a wheelchair, act like you're not crippled when you can't even move? Somebody has to dress you. Somebody has to take you to the bathroom.
You act it in your subconscious and wait for your body to catch up. You start talking about how it's going to feel to get outside and run around like a wild man. Because God's going to heal you. God's going to make you well. You go down to the store and pick out some shoes. That's the shoes I'm going to wear to church. And I'm praying the Lord will give me a good Holy Ghost dance when my life comes in my legs. Notice, don't ever act like you're sick or crippled anymore. Believe that you're healed. Take him at his word. Listen to this. Then it's all over on God then. Not on you. And if God don't keep his word, he's a liar. And he's not worthy to be trusted. But you know why a lot more don't happen? Because we're still retaining it right there. I believe. The Bible said. But that man down inside still scared and we're afraid to let go. We'll bring our burdens to the Lord and take them back to the pew. But if you ever committed to the subconscious, I'm getting ready to get delivered. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready for my children to get saved. As I said last week, buy them a Bible and put their name on it. Oh, glory to God. And believe God. You see, while I was going to warn the devil, I felt sorry for him in studying this this evening. I thought, poor old devil, he's going to be beat to death. Notice the prophet said, you believe you're saved. You act like you're saved. You say you're saved and you associate with those that are saved. And it works. Salvation. Is that right? The same thing will take place by divine healing. You believe you're healed. You act like he healed you. You say you're healed. He's a high priest of your confession to make good anything you confess. Whew. Let me read another one or so. Now bow your heads if you will. It's mental nervousness. The woman asked, should I believe when I feel like I'm dying all the time? You must believe regardless of anything. You never go on your feeling, you go to your faith. That's where you're the lacking of it is, sister dear. I want you to be well, but see, it's a mental disturbance all the time. You must just keep saying, thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Lord. How you feeling? Wonderful. Thank God for my healing. Don't you see what he's giving them? There's where you climb up over the rifles there. It's a battle. You've got to fight before you have the victory. And sometimes evil spirits want to hold on. It's left to the people's face. They have to leave in the presence. That's true. But when they get away, they'll return. You see, if the patient can have enough faith to take it, that's the thing in itself makes it so much better. Can I have a few more minutes? Please. Sir, as you go rejoicing. Go and be happy. Sing songs all day long. It don't mean this man could carry a tune in a lard bucket. That ain't the point. Brother Bim didn't say he was a good singer. He was going to make the local choir. He said, sing. Why? Because there's something about that melody in his heart. It's going to reverse the atmosphere the man's going to live in. Why? The prophet sees this man needs this in order to get and maintain his faith. You say, as you're going rejoicing, go be happy, sing songs all day long. Listen! You're that quiet type of person, which will hurt you a little later in your life. You go on. Start singing hymns and rejoicing. He didn't say if he felt it or not. He said, just rejoice. Glory. Testifying of your healing. Notice. It'll leave you. It hadn't left. There it is in the presence of the angel of God and the gift of God. It had not left.
But Brother Branham is telling this man what to do to make it leave. What? Sing songs. Be happy. There's something here God wants to teach this man, no doubt. Something that'll be with him the rest of his life if he'll learn it. Why? The prophet saw something in his temperament, the way he was. Deep thinker, quiet. This discernment is in hundreds and hundreds of places on different people. Because people have very, very similar makeups. And he would tell them the same thing over and over again. Cause a peptic ulcer. Something coming up in your mouth. I'll see you late in the afternoon. It's always bothering you in the evening time. Deep thinker. You always cross some bridges before you get to them. Most time never comes to pass anyway. And you know why? It kept repeating over and over again. This man, if he'll listen to this, he's going to get something he can take out of that door. And his life will never be the same again. Satan could have said, oh, look at you. You never got it. That man before you was healed. How come God didn't heal you? He had the key that would last him the rest of his life. Don't misunderstand me. To me, I'd rather have this than maybe the person that was healed by the presence of the angel. Oh, glory. And never learn anything. I want to learn how to be an overcomer every day. I want to learn how to deal with Donnie every day of my life. Two more, we'll close. Let's stand. Let's stand. Now go rejoicing, lady. Be happy. Just as happy as you can be. Singing hymns and praising God. Notice, you'll be all right. She ain't yet. But if you'll do what I'm telling you, you'll be all right. Notice this. Go rejoicing, everybody, when you leave here. If you're healed, act like you're healed. If you believe it, act like you are. Go and say, and thank you, Lord. It's a finished work. It's done. What? Positive affirmations. Why? The subconscious, you imagine some of these people have been sick for years and years. Their subconscious had got used to their sickness. Some of you have been depressed for so long, your subconscious thinks, this is normal. You've been down for so long, weary for so long, or whatever for so long, you have adapted this as normalcy in your life. I'm here to tell you tonight, that's not normal. Show me anywhere in the Bible or the message where it's normal for a child of God not to have peace that passes understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let me read one scripture and we'll pick it up, Lord willing, in the morning. Listen to what Paul wrote to this brother Philemon. You're talking about a powerful verse of scripture. It's so powerful, the meanings of these words. And I have never heard it preached on myself in the message. As I was reading it this week, I thought, Lord, why? Why is something like this so powerful? I've been laying here. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So that the communication, koinonia, fellowship of your faith might become effectual. So here your faith is not going to become effectual just by praying for this one and praying for that one. But by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. What does that do? If Jesus looked into the Word and read pertaining to Himself and it gave Him faith, what will it do when you find yourself in the Word? And it moves past this and gets down to here and this says, I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Then your faith, the communication of your faith becomes effectual, on fire, burning, passionate. How? By acknowledging, by testifying, by professing, because He's the high priest of our profession. Every good thing that is in you. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I hope I haven't given them too much.
in one night. Lord God, I want to be a different man. Lord, I've tried to watch my talking for many years, but yet I didn't stop my thinking. My thinking had been negative and been down. The position that I've had down through the years seemed like every turn in my life, when I saw the oneness of the Godhead, our mom and dad didn't see it. Me and Harry saw it. We was rejected. Our family rejected us for years. We didn't have nothing to do with us. And we got baptized in Jesus' name. And then when we come to the message of the hour, we were rejected again. Lord, then when I come to the message, and for years you let me go around and around, and oh my, people thought I was just so wonderful. Then you had me to preach things they didn't like. Then once again, I was rejected again. Lord, all of those things can work against us. Then in our subconscious, we begin to build this up. I'm rejected. I'm not loved. I'm hated. Nobody really likes me. People only like me for what they can get out of me. And Lord, I would never say those things, but that's what I thought within myself. I ask you to forgive me for those things, because that is not the truth. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this truth. I realize I'll be criticized for it, but I've got so many emails and so many texts and so many deliverances already from the people of God. I'll gladly preach it again and again and again and again, because I believe it's going to change us, Lord. It is changing us now. And I thank you for it. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, that I can have a sound mind. A sound mind. No wonder Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. The loins. The part the children came from. The procreative ability. Why would he say that was our mind? Gird up the loins of your mind. And I remember reading in the book of Exodus, when the first Exodus took place, they was commanded to eat the lamb and also to gird up their loins so they could leave for the Exodus. So there must be a parallel going on, Lord. We're eating the lamb, the revealed word of the hour, and we're getting a command to gird up the loins of your mind. Think on me, whatsoever things are lovely, pure, faithful, of a good report. Think on these things. Help us, Lord Jesus, from the front to the back, those that have streamed, those that will archive it, Lord God, help each of us, I pray. Help us to look deep down inside of us. We do not have a vindicated prophet on the earth today to look at our hearts and discern us and say, you as a child, and this happened, and that happened, and that happened. But we do have the Word of God that is still the discerner of the thoughts. Even from the emails and things I've been getting, Lord, I know you've been doing that very thing, describing people's lives to a T, telling things that even happened to them when they were children. So it shows us you're showing yourself mighty among us. Not so some man will get the glory, but so you'll get it all. Lord, speak to us, would you? Help us, Father. Grant it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You love him?
Amen.
Do you believe what you think is powerful?
Yes.
Brother Branham said it this way. A man could come in this building tonight in 1956. A man could come in this building tonight being well, not even be sick at all. But begin to think that he is sick, and they'll have to pack him out of the service. He said, because the atmosphere that you live in. And you imagine a person could get deathly sick and have to be carried out of the service just by thinking. Now let's reverse it. What if a person was so sick when they come in? Oh God. Oh God, I'm so sick. I don't think I can. But what if they got to thinking, but this is a wonderful place to get healed. The Lord's here.
He's my healer. He's my provider. They might have got packed in, but they can walk out. Glory to God! Why? The atmosphere. Praise the Lord. Brother Darrell and Brother David and some of the saints from the church here is leaving tomorrow for a trip. We'd like to offer prayer for them, that the Lord will just go with them and help them. It's a youth service there in Nicaragua, Brother Darrell. That's where it's at. We want to just pray the Lord to just help those that wants to be prayed for that's going with them. Brother Danny be interpreting for them. And Brother Darrell and Brother David be doing the preaching. We'll just ask God. Lord Jesus, you already know the needs of these young people before they ever leave out of Tri-Cities Airport. Father God, I believe I know these brothers' hearts well enough to know they're not going for any other reason other than something to be accomplished for the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, may you move among them. Lord, Satan has so many things to offer our young people. Lord, whether it's Happy Valley or Nicaragua or Germany, wherever it is, they need this word too, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you would move on their hearts. Anoint Brother Darrell, Brother David, Lord, as they're going to do the ministry in 12 services, Father. May the Spirit of God, I pray, give them the words to speak, Lord. 6 services apiece, I pray that you just anoint them. May they find the mind of God, Lord, for every service. May the leading of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, may you help Brother Danny as he interprets, Lord. May the Spirit of God just move upon him, Lord, as he translates. May he be quick, Lord. May his mind be sharp, Father God. Be able to catch the words and the thoughts of God. In the name of Jesus, may you go with them, Lord. May you give them traveling mercy. May you watch over them while they're there, Lord. Keep them up on the dangers of the road and the food and the water, the drink and all that, Lord God. Bring them home safe to us, Father God. May there be eternal things that will be accomplished, Lord. We desire no glory. We desire no achievement on our own. They're not going to establish a doctrine. They're not going to establish themselves. But, Lord, we want to establish the kingdom of God in the hearts of people. May you go before them, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Grant it, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, children, he's here. Don't you love him? What do you need tonight? What do you need from him? Healing? Deliverance? Maybe just a bunch of old junk down in your subconscious. You need God to help you. Oh, I believe he'll help you. I believe he'll strengthen you. But I believe he'll also give you the teaching to know what you need to do when you get to the house. That's right. So you can start reprogramming yourself. Get a lot of this old negative stuff out of us. Brother Bam said there's one way we get positive faith, and that's thinking positive thoughts. Right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. He's our healer, our deliverer, our savior, our king. Hallelujah.
What do you need tonight? Say these short affirmations. Whatever you have need of. Just like Brother Ben said. He's my healer. He's my savior. Have you got faith? I've got good faith. Do you believe him with all of my heart? Are you going to overcome? I'm more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus.
We just want to believe, Brother Donnie. We just want to believe.
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He had not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. A sound mind, a mind that the loins is girt about. A mind that I may not be able to stop every thought that Satan will put through there, but I can't stop him from roosting. And if I can't holler them out, I'll get my double barrel shotgun, Old and New Testament, and I'll blow them out. Whichever way the devil wants to go, with or without buckshot, up to him. You understand? There's no other alternative. He's leaving one way or the other. Amen. Oh, you said, Brother Don, do you believe this stuff? Listen, friend, I believe a person can live this kind of life. As the prophet said, you can live so close to God that the devil don't know what to do with you. Can you imagine if we as the people of God would have got up in the morning and Satan had said, oh no. Oh no, not another day with them on the earth. Oh no, here they come. Oh no. Wouldn't you love for that to be your testimony? Oh my, that the devil says, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do with Jim. I've done this and I've done that and I've done that. I don't care what I do. He still believes. Oh, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be. Do you believe that? Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved. Oh, Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved. I'm in His love and favor. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be. I shall not be moved.
service at 11. If you can take it, we'll be gathering here again. I hope you can. Son, we've got our barrels loaded, Lord willing. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I don't know why I have to be the one to dismiss. That ain't right. Amen. Isn't God good to us, friends? Aren't you glad you could come to a place and sit down and hear words that'll change your life? Not a bunch of creeds and dogmas and fighting and fussing and putting this one down, but to hear the word of God that'll change our lives, friends. Amen. To teach us to look to the unseen. Amen. For it's the unseen things that are real. Amen. Amen. God bless you richly. Pray for us. We get back home safely and be gone 8 days, and just pray for the meetings there. Let's get a hold of those young people. They're just precious people, poor. We was over there last year. Lord did some great things, and we're just looking forward to what He'll do for us this year. So may God richly bless you. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I still believe that You squeeze a man's heart and the juice comes out of his eyes. Lord, I'm so glad that You love me so much that You would squeeze my heart. Father, I just don't have the words to say, to express to You just how much we love You, Lord. Just how grateful we are for the things that we hear, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I say to You tonight, I am so glad that You are my friend. You have always been my friend. Father, may You go with Your people. Lord, may You keep our family safe while we were gone, Lord. Lord, bless Brother Donnie, his family, Lord. The officers of the church. Father God, may we take these things that we heard tonight, not leave them here, Lord. But may we take them home with us as we lay up on our beds before we drift into our sleep. May we take these things, Lord, and speak them back, oh God, that they can begin that good work in us, Lord. Lord, Your children are hungry. I pray, Lord, You feed them, for healing is the children's bread. Father, may You feed them. We just commit this service, Lord, to these people into Your hands for Your glory. Father, may we walk out of here believing, Lord, the things that You have told us. We are the seed of Abraham. Grant it, Lord, Father. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Do You love You? May God richly bless you. Be our prayer. Amen. Play something. Sing it. Sing a song. Let's just sing this as we go. God bless you richly. We have prayer.
We fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy.
Yes, You are, Lord.
We cry, yes, holy, holy, holy.
Yes, You are, Lord.
Holy, 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 here the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Jesus. At the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry.
Thank you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we press on. In Jesus' name we press on.